us today. A lot going on over here.
Welcome to the party. A lot of corruption being exposed, a lot of nonsense being outlined for you. So we're excited that you're jumping on with us today. We'll be joined by Matt Peterson in just a few moments. Going to dig a little bit deeper into that FBI employee who claims he was fired for being gay. He's done a very extensive interview with CBS, and there's a lot there. So look forward to playing that for you, of course, because he's claiming Kash Patel fired him because he's gay. Now that holds up to my standards, I'm okay with that. But obviously, he's playing the victim card, and we will ask Matt how he feels about all of this, because Matt's been very specifically following when it comes to FBI corruption, these stories, and we've both been calling for the mass purge of these political individuals who have infiltrated the FBI to spew their narrative and to weaponize the agency. And so this will be something we look forward to speaking about, of course. Also, we'll be playing a clip about Miranda Devine speaking with the press secretary as well, because press secretary is outlining, Caroline Leavitt's outlining how she caught reporters just roaming around the White House press area, and they were trying to listen in on private conversations. And so since that, they've added some restrictions in place. Now, that sounds a lot like what I've heard over at the Pentagon. Again, that's another one that has some restrictions now that the media doesn't like. So Caroline Leavitt speaking out and detailing the claims that she has made. Plus, Matt Peterson's also been dealing with a lot in regards to Corey Mills' drama. He has been doing a lot of reporting on it, talking about it quite often. So we look forward to hearing his reaction to the latest news that has made its way to the surface regarding that ethics committee investigation. And then there's a lot of other things going on in the legal world as well. In case you guys don't know, now you do, but Pam Bondi yesterday came out and said that everything related to Jeffrey Epstein is being handled by the Southern District of New York. SDNY, if that doesn't make you a little nervous. I don't know if you've been watching InfoWars. SDNY is obviously one of the more corrupt DOJ districts. Several very corrupt cases always make their way over there. And so when we're talking about Epstein, it's not going to really get me excited, because, folks, it's where all the good stuff goes to die. The Southern District of New York. We'll also be talking about what happened yesterday in court as well, because James Comey was actually kind of given a little bit of a win. And the charges against him are looking to be possibly, potentially dropped, forced out by the courts. Mike Davis even sounding off on that, saying that it's just the judge, it's another rogue judge. But we'll outline the claims of both sides, of course, and bring you what they're saying, because I'm a little on edge these days. I'm a little on edge. Also, around in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to be taking your calls as well, so we look forward to that. I'll also be joined by the redheaded libertarian. We've got a lot to talk about there, because Marjorie Taylor Greene was calling out President Trump for calling her a traitor. There's also a woman, and the story itself is really bizarre. We'll play it for, we'll walk you through it. But there's a woman who, according to the DOJ, was a part of some fetish. And she's a former GOP congressional staffer, but she ultimately was saying that she was attacked and slashed all over her body. And this was a politically motivated attack. The DOJ coming out and saying, no, it wasn't the case. Now they have, in fact, charged her. They believe that she lied to them. And that she apparently paid some type of fetish artist to mutilate her body. It's bizarre, but it also highlights a big issue that we have in this country right now that's not being discussed enough. So I'll be speaking with her on that front as well. So a lot going on over here, folks. If you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because we have the Alex Jones Hat Club going on right now. When you subscribe today for $30 a month, you get the benefits that the members of the Hat Club get. These hats are not sold on the Alex Jones Store or anywhere else. This is exclusive when you join as a member. New hats every month with a unique design style every 30 days. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and join the Hat Club. I'll be thankful that you did. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
We are live, still on air. Despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down, But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us in the second hour of the program. So welcome to the show. A lot going on over here. A lot of corruption being called out on both sides, which is the good news. Both the left and the rhinos on the right are getting finally some attention to the corruption-related issues that are happening on Capitol Hill. We'll keep talking about that throughout today's show, of course. But we walked you through a lot of allegations at the top of the hour, last hour. And folks, I mean, there's a lot going on right now in Capitol Hill. But let's talk about the FBI for a split second here, because the FBI, they won't confirm it with you when you reach out for comment regarding personnel decisions when they fire individuals. But there apparently are a lot of individuals behind the scenes. We don't know a number, though, who are getting fired based on their political beliefs, because a lot of people were elevated within the agency because of their political beliefs. If they aligned with the regime, they were promoted, they were brought to the tops of their ranks. Well, one individual apparently wasn't promoted, but he's claiming to be a 16-year veteran of the agency. And he's claiming that he was fired because, well, Cash Patel found out he had a pride flag on his desk. Now, this 16-year veteran, who according to Rick Grinnell, was never promoted to an agent. He says that's just a sign of incompetency. But his name is David Maltinsky, and he outlined his claims to CBS News yesterday. I want you to take a listen to what those claims were.
After 16 years inside the FBI's Los Angeles field office, David Maltinsky was just weeks away from a promotion to becoming a special agent. Last month, he was escorted into a meeting and fired.
Were you surprised when you got the word you were to leave?
I wasn't surprised. I was definitely disappointed. I knew not truly firsthand, but I knew I was on a list.
Maltinsky, who is gay, alleged there was a list of agents management was targeting. After years of service with commendations, the Bureau told Maltinsky he was let go because of an inappropriate display of political signage in his work area. This is what he had displayed, a pride flag, which had been presented to him by the FBI after it flew outside the FBI's L.A. field office.
I don't know what their goal was, but if it was to send a chilling effect throughout the men and women at the FBI, it was effective. Many gay colleagues have removed pride flags from their desks.
Horrified by the Pulse nightclub shooting in 2016, Maltinsky helped support the Bureau's diversity initiatives and was honored for it. The Trump administration has targeted efforts to ensure diversity in its workforce. FBI Director Cash Patel has testified staff would not be fired over politics.
The only actions we take, generally speaking, for personnel at the FBI are ones based on merit and qualification and your ability to uphold your constitutional duty. You fall short, you don't work there anymore.
In his lawsuit, Maltinsky argues his firing amounts to discrimination and wants his job back.
We're not the enemy. We're not some political mob. We're proud members of the FBI, and we have a mission to do.
The FBI told CBS News it wouldn't comment on Maltinsky's lawsuit. Scott McFarland, CBS News, Washington.
It's an interesting interview, given the fact that why are we talking about your sex life in the workplace? Joining me to discuss is Matt Peterson. He is a Washington fellow for the Claremont Institute, and he's with us now. And it's great to have Matt on because, you know, I got to say, I am happy that they're doing this. Okay, that's the first thing. I don't like the fact that people are so freely talking about what their sexual preferences are in the workplace. There's never a place for that, especially if you're a heterosexual man and you decide to talk about your love for a woman. You'd instantly get fired and dragged into HR. So again, this seems to be the standard here where it's not applied evenly across for everyone, Matthew. But I wanted to get your take on this because you and I are constantly very critical of the FBI. So what do you make of this?
Well, I mean, first off, we're hearing one side of the story, right? I mean, we have someone who's upset that they were fired, and you expect normal people, normal voters expect that when political people go into these organizations, they clean house and they put people who align with the priorities of the new administration, you know, into place. And of course, for decades, that hasn't been happening. What ends up happening is you have people who align with the left and they stay in office, right? They stay in their position no matter what the administration. And we all know that the FBI needs to be cleaned out. So if we just take what he's saying, if it is just his, you know, displaying of his political beliefs, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That's been going on for a long time. Anyone who is conservative has been persecuted in all these agencies, not just the FBI, because the bureaucratic state sort of moves in the same direction and has become politicized and weaponized over the last, you know, 10, 20 years. So I hear what you're saying, but I also would say we probably don't even know the whole story. I mean, if it took this long to become an agent, what else is his record like? And, you know, was there a rule about having political stuff in the workplace and displaying that? You know, this is, I don't think that most people are going to be crying about this.
No, I don't think most people will be crying about this. And, you know, it would be good to get some more information on this. But, you know, when we reach out for a comment from the FBI about these personal matters, they don't give you comments. And CBS also tried to get their side of it as well, but they didn't give them comment now because it's a legal issue. So there seems to be that angle to it as well, where we just aren't going to hear both sides of it as of right now. But this is one of my main issues with the FBI. You know, I understand they can't comment specifically on personal matters. But, you know, when we sit here and talk about purging out the people who have risen to the high ranks within the FBI based on their political beliefs because it aligned with the Biden regime, Peterson, we talk about this often. And for some reason, the FBI won't give us a number as to how many people have been fired for this because they are people who were not qualified for these positions in the first place. Do you think that the FBI should have to divulge a little bit of information about how many people have been fired based on the story you may have heard there or based on their political beliefs? Like, should there be some type of reporting being done by the FBI?
Yes, I think at the very least, the FBI owes the American people under the Trump administration an explanation of what the plan is to reform the FBI, because most of the people who voted for Donald Trump, the majority of voters in this country, were not satisfied with the performance of the FBI, to put it mildly, over the last decade. They know it needs to be cleaned out. I mean, this is like the classical Aegean stables, which were full of you-know-what from the horses for centuries, and Hercules had to divert a river to sweep it all away. We know that's how bad it is. So what are you doing to reform it? Are you reframing the mission of the FBI? Are you restructuring how it's operating? And then, of course, how many people are you getting rid of who are already politicized, have been there to enact, right, another person's politics for a long time that, by the way, stands directly against more than half the country? So you know, it's understandable if the FBI can't say everything, but you're going to have to put the old ways, you know, aside and be much more transparent. And you can see Bongino trying to do that on X, I think, but they really need to be more transparent if they want to restore trust in the institution to the American people. And the problem is, you know, the FBI, the DOJ, they stand for the rule of law. These are very important institutions. So it is extremely important that this administration regains that trust, and transparency is one of the ways to do that.
Yeah, and transparency is critical right now because everyone wants to see the FBI get gutted from all these political hacks that have infiltrated the agency, because we've seen enough over the last 4 years under the Biden years, and we want all those people gone so that it's an agency that can be trusted. I mean, the reality is if we're probably to poll the American people right now, I don't think they've been reassured enough that they can trust the FBI to do its job. And so, you know, we'll keep pushing for that. Obviously, that's very, very important. But I want to shift over to the FBI a little, from the FBI to the White House for a second, because, you know, Miranda Devine is doing a bunch of really incredible interviews, and she was able to sit down with the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, yesterday, and she released this podcast interview that the two of them did. Ultimately, you know, Caroline Leavitt, it's detailing why reporters are now restricted into what areas they are allowed to go into, because apparently, according to her, she caught some reporters roaming around and eavesdropping. Take a listen to clip 14 and the allegations she outlines.
And you've recently just banned the media from coming into what's called upper press, mm-hmm. which I think is just the area around your offices.
Yeah.
And why was that?
So Upper Press is the suite that you're in. This is my office, and there's several other offices and staff that sit up here. We are steps away from the Oval Office, as you know. And then downstairs, right near the press briefing room, there is what's called Lower Press. And I have 10 staff who sit down there, and they are the front lines of the White House Press Corps. And the White House Press Corps have full access to that space, to everyone on our press team, to take their questions, answer their questions. And what was happening up here is, now that we have taken over the responsibilities of the National Security Council, thanks to the restructuring of Secretary Rubio when he became National Security Advisor, Stephen Chung and I are responsible for all communications matters, including national security. Mm-hmm. And so we felt it became very inappropriate for reporters to be loitering around sensitive information in our offices. And we did, unfortunately, catch some unruly reporters recording us without our permission, listening in on conversations, eavesdropping. We'd have staff meetings in the morning. Some of the reporters started to pick up on that, and we'd walk out and they would be out there trying to listen. You know, if Secretary Rubio or the chief want to come in and brief us on something, you'd have reporters out there heckling them. And it just became an inappropriate worker environment.
Okay, so Peterson, I've heard this before where those in the Pentagon have said that they caught reporters kind of roaming around areas they shouldn't have been, and then since then have now buckled down and created restricted areas. Although the media denies all of this, that they did this in the Pentagon, and they're denying the Pentagon's claims. I mean, this seems to be happening in the White House as well. The media, again, was denying it when they first announced all these changes that were going to be taking place. And they're just saying this is a way that they're kind of buckling down on all of this. But you obviously spend a lot of time in D.C. Do you think that there's any truth to these allegations that both the White House and now Pentagon have laid out?
Yeah, look, this is one of those things where I don't even understand what, a lot of the media is complaining about. It's not as if they don't have access. Mm-hmm. So they're going to whine about any time there's any restriction, quote unquote, on them. But the White House is actually a surprisingly open place. You know, America was built this way. It used to be a long time ago. You could go up and knock on the door, 100 years ago. Those times have changed. But nonetheless, if you do have a press pass, you are able to go in there. You do have access to people. There's no reason why you can't be restricted from going in certain areas where people work. And, look, we long since passed the point where the press, which most people don't even hate enough, has become just an enemy of one side of the political spectrum. So yeah, they're going to go in there, they're going to record things, they're going to do whatever they can. They all regard themselves as activists now. They have for the last decade, especially when Trump appeared on the scene. So these are, to me, these are sort of ridiculous, dramas that are just spun up by the press themselves, because there's no reason why you wouldn't want to control your workspace and make it so that there's some areas press can come into and some they can't, especially when they are obviously working for all kinds of other interests, and their own interest is directly opposed to that of the administration, and they're willing to say anything and do anything to destroy one side of the aisle. So I think this is really just a return to normalcy in a way, and establishing some boundaries, which are important in any relationship, especially when that relationship is failing.
Yeah, and it is. And it's crazy because over at the Pentagon, I'm talking about the journalists, they're the only ones who are outraged about the agreement they were asked to sign. And I read through it, we've read through it here. There was nothing crazy in the agreement itself. It's just looking to restrict areas that people were going into. And although the media says they weren't just roaming around freely, I've heard stories about how those who were working within the Pentagon, who work for the government, didn't realize they were talking to a journalist, because there was a journalist just kind of strolling around and they disclosed information that they shouldn't have disclosed. And that was a problem. And so now they're trying to create these boundaries and the media is not happy about it. But when asked about it, they could only say, well, they're just trying to, specifically for the Pentagon, they keep telling me, oh, well, they're just trying to restrict what we could report on. But that's not the case. I mean, I've been very critical of what's been happening at the Pentagon, now releasing 4 stories about it and criticizing them directly, but as respectful as possible. And they haven't pulled my credentials. They haven't threatened to do just that. And so for people to sit there in the media and pretend like that's the case, it's not the case. And it's really frustrating, because I never understood how these media outlets are just able to just kind of stroll around. I mean, Matt, we both obviously have a lot of media experience. I would go to sporting events and cover sporting events for Major League Baseball, for an example, and it was always required 100% of the time that you display your credentials and have them on you. And for some reason, a lot of these media outlets were strolling around the Pentagon without their credentials being displayed. So they're upset now. They're being reprimanded and told that they have to do just that. And they're told to sign this in writing. And for some reason, you know, they think that they're obligated to just kind of do whatever they want. It just seems to be, and I'll let you kind of get the final word on this one, this topic at least. It just seems to be that the media has this type of this high horse that they should just be able to do whatever they want. There's no restrictions. And now that we're replacing them, we are, the independent journalists are replacing them. They're coming after us. I mean, what do you make of this? The new media replacing the old media, and the old media is not happy, and they're trying to launch an attack.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. You're so right about both those points. You know, first off, the White House itself, I says, is a surprisingly open place even now. I mean, it depends on what sort of pass you had. I mean, I much prefer, you know, the A pass, the nice pass, where you can basically roam about anywhere. I mean, and people will be surprised by that once you get in there. Now, the press pass, of course, is much more restrictive as to where you can go and how, and it should be. This is just common sense. It's a return of common sense and normalcy, and it's the same with DOD. What was being asked of the press was completely normal. The type of things that have been in place under regimes in the past. And of course, you don't let the press just roam around wherever they want. You can still report. You're not being persecuted. You're still allowed in the building in certain designated areas. And go, guess what? You have to wear a badge. That's why we have the whole system in the first place. But, you know, even more importantly, maybe, is that your other point, which is a lot of this frustration on the part of the media is coming from the fact that they realize they don't have a monopoly on who gets to go in there anymore. And, you know, your audience, you know, you guys need to realize how important these people think they are because they get a freaking pass.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And really, a pass is just like, hey, we think you're, you know, qualified enough to come in here and be professional enough to do the job. You know, there's no special magic to it, but these people, this is their identity is tied to this. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I find all this stuff really pathetic.
Yeah. And their identity is tied to their mainstream outlets. And most of these people can't even scramble and get an audience themselves. I mean, the people were coming after me after we announced here that I was going to be, as an independent journalist, credentialed and going to cover. The amount of hate that I was receiving from those who formerly worked inside the Pentagon as journalists, so-called journalists, I should say, was insane. And then I look at their Twitter accounts. I didn't respond to them because they've got about 15,000, 20,000 followers. They themselves don't have a following. So no one's reading your reporting. That's what that tells me. And the reality of it is when you're credentialing Jack Posobiec and others who have massive followers, that's the Pentagon trying to make sure that their messaging is being delivered to the American people. And so unfortunately for them, that doesn't seem to be the case. But I also learned something too, before we move on. I learned when I asked, will they have access to these remote press conferences now? Because that's what they're going to start doing. They're going to do more remote pressers. And they said, yeah, they could Zoom in. They could ask questions through Zoom. And they could also apply to get a day pass. So they could apply to go to the Pentagon for a day and cover it for a day without signing the agreement. So they're not going to be losing access, although they want to do this dramatic photo op that we saw earlier. It's so over the top, but we look forward to being there in just a couple of days to cover what's going on. I also want to shift gears a little bit to a topic that you know and you've been actually talking about for quite often now. Congressman Corey Mills yesterday, there was an attempt to try to get him censored. That didn't work out too well. He is now going to be under investigation through the Ethics Committee. I've been reaching out for many, many months now, asking specifically and following up with Speaker Mike Johnson's office if they were going to launch an investigation into him. For a very long time, they were ignoring me. Just recently, they now tell me that they were just going to wait for all of his court matters, his legal matters to kind of fizzle out. And that's when they were going to kind of come up with whatever their opinion was on the subject matter. But there's a lot of different accusations floating around about the congressman, and now it looks like the Ethics Committee is stepping in on this. Do you have any type of hope that the Ethics Committee will be fair and balanced and give us a fair shake when it comes to Corey Mills?
I'm just going to be honest. I mean, the first thing you need to know about Congress investigating itself is that, that's not a good principle of justice. So when Congress investigates itself or refers things to ethics, a lot of times these things get lost. They can get buried and they can just last for an eternity. In the House, you're only in there for 2 years. You're always running for office. So I do not have a hell of a lot of hope that they're going to do much on the congressional side. On the other hand, I believe in specifically Congressman Mills's case, there's just so much there. There's so many different stories. There's so many different angles. I mean, Nancy Mace is talking about stolen valor. There's also the fact he has an international arms company. He started with the woman he married in the Al-Qaeda mosque many years ago. People said he converted to Islam at the time. Multiple people that we had talked to when I was with Blaze, you know, he says he's not a Muslim now. He's a Catholic. He's Protestant. He's Christian. It's kind of, you know, both, he said. But he, the fact is, regardless of his religion, is he has this arms company. And then some of the girlfriends that the one accusing him of sextortion and threatening her with revealing photos and releasing them to anyone she tries to date after, you know, they broke up. That woman has said that he has repeatedly taken bags of cash, both delivered to his house and from people at his business. And when we published that article at Blaze, his lawyer reached out and said, look, he wasn't actually a director of the company at this time. He denied that any wrongdoing took place. But that would mean, if it's true that, you know, if what she says is true, that he was receiving bags of cash at the time that he had recused himself from his business. You know, and then he has problems paying the rent. I mean, I don't know where to start with this guy. He's going to Syria. He's visiting foreign leaders as a member of Congress. Well, he, you know, has his company in a blind trust. And when you add up, you know, the women's stuff, when you add up the business stuff, and then you start looking at the stolen valor stuff, there's just a lot about this guy that screams bloody murder, red flags all over the place. So I think that this is a case where the GOP is just acting under the rules of the past, much like you were talking about the FBI earlier, where they have to have stricter standards. They can't allow, you know, themselves to just police themselves with House ethics. They really need to take a closer look at people who appear to be really bad actors and clean house. And the reason they should do that is just out of self-interest. Yeah. You know, the American people in the base, they're not having trust the plan anymore. They really need to see that you're serious about reform.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they need to see these changes. And, you know, it's concerning because he's been on these really high up committee assignments, and someone who's accused of these allegations really should be investigated, and it should have happened a very long time ago. Peterson, thank you for joining us today. Matt Peterson, we appreciate you being here, of course. Thank you for all the incredible work you do. We appreciate you joining us today and your insight on all of these issues. And folks, if you're not doing so, make sure you give him a follow on X. That is DOCMJP on Twitter. Give him a follow. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, folks, we're digging into more stories, of course. We are going to be going into a lot of legal issues, but I wanted to tell you guys at least this story. Yesterday in the House, they did at least get something done that could be considered productive. The House passed a bill yesterday repealing cashless bail in D.C., and much of the law, which was passed by the city council back in 2022. So that is a massive, massive win. Again, folks, D.C. has been crime ridden for a very long time. Most importantly, though, the judges, the liberal judges in D.C., the activist judges, have been doing their very best to just continuously release violent criminals back on the streets of D.C. And that is the reason why it's been an absolute cesspool. So finally, something kind of productive happening in Washington, D.C. yesterday. It doesn't affect the vast majority of Americans, but if you ever want to head over to the big capital, the good news is crime is down. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We're giving away a free $10 on all orders, no minimum required. So head on over, fill up your cart right now over thealexjonesstore.com. It's a great way to start stocking up for the holidays. Make sure you get it over with and done with now. We are selling out on all of your favorite items, so now is a great time to get a head start on that. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we got more on the legal battles. James Comey, is he going to get away? Is the judge going to force the charges against him to be tossed out? I'll bring you the latest next.
Ladies and gentlemen, our ultramethylene blue is the best medical grade there is. It's so good for your body. We have nothing but rave reviews. It is so crazy good. But even if you buy it and don't like it, which we've had out of like 500 people I've given it to, three didn't have any effect. Every person on air I've given it to absolutely loves it. And it's so good for you. Super energy, within 30 minutes, no letdown, and you even sleep better on it. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have all the other great products. I know Irish sea moss doesn't sound sexy, or Shilajit doesn't, or bovine colostrum. Whatever's the best, whatever's the highest rated, whatever absolutely delivers, that's what we sell. So take action now. The widest selection of Patriot apparel. A lot of limited edition shirts, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. sweaters are also there at thealexjones.com. And even if the globalists shut down InfoWars, which they got a state receiver trying to do right now, we're fighting in court. Whatever. We got the Alex Jones Network that's owned by Big League that I don't own, and the AlexJonesShow.com that I don't own. I'll just be the news director there. They can't shut that down. So you're keeping us on air at the same time getting incredible products. Folks, you are missing out. I'm not a hype man. They said the best salesmen sell good products. Well, I sell the best. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order, on top of all the other discounts that are there, gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, Ultramethylene Blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade formula, bovine colostrum, the best, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Don't know about it? You should look into it. We got the best. Ultimate Sea Moss. Don't know about it? Look into it. We have the best. It's like 40 milligrams per serving of two gummies or the capsules. That's like a giant bowl of Irish Sea Moss. Talk about, you think spinach is good for Popeye? Well, this is like spinach to the infinity. Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. It's all there. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deal, special offer, special sales. So if you buy anything on the store, become a VIP. And if you're worried about stuff selling out, which stuff sometimes sells out for like 6 months. One time, sold out of the Irish Sea Moss 6 months. Because we have the highest standards, it's hard to get the ingredients. You sign up for AutoShip, they hold it back for you, and you get 50% off in the future order. You can cancel anytime. So it's not much of a commitment when you become a VIP or a subscriber because you can cancel any time. You just get all the benefits. But we know it's so good when you get it, you'll reorder. We have an 80%+ reorder on the Methylene Blue. Nobody has that.
Welcome to the AlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. Power up today.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're joining us. A lot of legal issues to dive into today. Robert Gouveia is going to be joining us in just a moment. He's a criminal defense attorney. He does an incredible job at breaking down all of these stories, and he'll be with us in just a moment. But in case you didn't see it yesterday, there's a lot going on. I want to make sure we brought this to your attention. It's looking kind of scary right now for the rest of us who want justice and want to make sure that the charges against James Comey stick. The ex-FBI director, of course, is trying his very best to shake those charges in federal court. And yesterday, it looked like it could possibly happen with the judge who was there yesterday. Obviously, as many of you guys know, he's being accused of lying to Congress and obstructing Congress as well. And yesterday in court, the judge really kind of grilled the prosecutors and forced them to kind of admit whether or not the grand jury reviewed the final two count indictment. Now, it sounds like that wasn't the case. And this could mean that James Comey might possibly get these charges dropped and move on. I'm not an attorney, though, so we're going to bring one in to discuss. Robert Gouveia joins us now. He's a criminal defense attorney and does an incredible job at breaking down all of these stories on his YouTube page and also on X. So make sure you give him a follow. Robert, I want to thank you for being here. Yesterday when I saw the headline pop in, I was hoping it was fake news. So I wanted to make sure you came on the show today to break this all down for us. So what's going on right now with the Comey case?
Yeah, Brianna, thank you so much for having me. And you're right. Things are pretty tense out there. We had a precarious position hearing yesterday where the judge was asking Lindsey Halligan's team, the U.S. attorney out there, what they did at the grand jury proceedings. And the headlines that you're seeing a lot of that will break down are that the prosecutors didn't show the grand jurors the actual indictment, the charging document. And this could be a big problem if they changed the document. If the document was not actually approved by the grand jury, then the indictment is invalid and the indictment needs to get dismissed and thrown out. And so it really was a pretty technical argument that went down yesterday. But from the DOJ's perspective, from Lindsey Halligan, the Trump prosecutor, from her perspective, what went down is they presented the grand jury originally with three counts. So they walked in, they had a document, and there were three different charges on there. And two of them ultimately stuck. So they went to the grand jury. As we know, all this takes place in secret, and it's very hard to really understand what went down in there. So we're spending a lot of time trying to unpack that. But they went in, they said, hey, we've got these three counts. We think that James Comey is guilty of these things, and we want you to sign off on them. So the grand jury then didn't actually sign off on all three. They just signed off on two and three. So we go in, we have one, two, and three. They come out, they sign off on two and three. And essentially what happened was the DOJ, and they filed a notice explaining all of this, they came back and rewrote the document. So it just included counts two and three. In other words, they turned counts two and three into counts one and two. They didn't change anything else. It was all the exact same. And they brought that indictment, sort of like a second draft, because the first one got booted out. They brought that back in to the foreperson of the grand jury, but not the full grand jury. And so they said, hey, Mr. Foreperson, who's of course on the grand jury, can you sign off on this document, which is the actual charges? And he did, right? So then those get signed off on. Those become the charges that are filed. And right now there's a big battle over whether or not that's appropriate, really, right? Does the judge find ultimately after all this briefing takes place? And we don't have a decision on this yet. The judge said, DOJ, Lindsey Halligan, give us some more information. Same thing from Comey and his defense team. But what are the rules? What is ultimately required in order to have a valid grand jury indictment? And Halligan's people, they just submitted a notice. We had a difficult hearing yesterday, lots of headlines. You know, the grand jury didn't even see the indictment. Oh my goodness. It almost feels like the whole thing was made up. They did see it. They just had the foreperson sign off on the actual substantive document that didn't change at all, other than just being a separate literal piece of paper. So is that valid? And Lindsey Halligan and her team, they submitted a new notice essentially explaining that we have case law that backs up that this alone is not sufficient enough to dismiss an indictment. Great. Grand juries and criminal charges are given sort of a presumption of regularity such that these minor mistakes, what we call harmless errors and things that are just kind of technical, maybe anomalies, not, you know, not how these things ordinarily happen, but they're not substantive enough to dismiss the entire indictment. I mean, we still had a grand jury, when you break it down substantively, say, yep, we looked at these two counts, these two charges. We think that there's enough cause there to indict him. And so the charges have come. And so now we're going to have this battle back and forth, whether, you know, the case law supports Lindsey Halligan's interpretation and whether they actually even needed to see this original document or if this is still valid. Of course, Comey has taken the opposite end of that, saying the grand jury needed to see everything before they could even sign off on it. Otherwise, the entire case should be dismissed. So things are tense, and that's just one attack vector that they're taking on that case. They're also trying to disqualify Lindsey Halligan. They're filing motions to dismiss based on vindictive prosecution, and there's a long list. So it's James Comey. They're pulling out all the stops, and they're really trying to make sure that they can get him off this case.
Yeah, I want to talk about Halligan a little bit because she's acting right now as U.S. attorney. And so that, I know, is a big thing for Comey right now. He's trying to get her thrown off for that because he doesn't think that she should be able to prosecute. I also don't think she has according to, and again, this is the media, this is the mainstream media that I've seen this in, that she's never been a prosecutor before. So I think that's also being called into question in all of this. Do you think that she's qualified to prosecute this case? And do you think that any of that will hold up in front of a fair judge?
Yeah, I certainly think that you don't have to be a prosecutor in order to be a prosecutor. If you're a lawyer, right, a lawyer can get up to speed as long as you have the belief that you can become competent in that area, then you can go and practice in that area. I'm not a contract lawyer, but if I got up to speed, I could go and, you know, practice some contract law if I wanted to. One license can give you access to all of the, you know, various fields of the law. Now, that being said, this is a pretty big one to come out on. It's like, you know, your starting game is like the Super Bowl or something as your rookie season, and you come out there and you're just indicting James Comey. And Lindsey Halligan got put into, I think she's a very competent, very capable person, but she got put into a position at the last minute and was just kind of squeezed in there because the James Comey prosecution was about to expire. His original lies were back, you know, alleged lies were back in 2020. So the 5-year statute of limitations would have expired September, I think it was 30th. And she came in and indicted him September 25th. So she got put into this pressure cooker because the prior prosecutors wouldn't do anything with it. So they ultimately were relieved. And then she came in here, probably, you know, in a very chaotic environment, trying to scramble and put all this together before the clock expired. But they are fighting about her appointment. And we went through this with Jack Smith when Trump was being prosecuted. And the real issue is, what is the title? What is the label of this person? With Jack Smith, when he was prosecuting Trump, he was a special counsel. And of course, as we know, he was disqualified. He got thrown off the case by Judge Cannon in Florida because he was, she's found, not a legitimately appointed person. He wasn't, you know, officially under the rules in the right position. And so he was illegally appointed and illegally appropriating money as well. So they threw him off. And so James Comey is trying to make essentially the same argument. Now, the difference between Jack Smith and Lindsey Halligan is that Lindsey is not being appointed as a special counsel. And Jack Smith, in order to put him in that position, they cobbled together all of these various statutes, and they called them the Reno regulations, and they say they gave them the power to appoint Jack Smith. But Lindsey Halligan is two things, really. Right now, she's an interim U.S. attorney, so it's a different label, interim versus special counsel. And then we also saw Pam Bondi came out and retroactively basically rubber stamped and validated her as a special attorney. So she's got these two different statutory bases for being the attorney right now. But the Comey team is saying that you cannot have, in other words, the executive branch cannot continue to successively appoint people as interim, right? Interim means temporary. You're there for 120 days. And then according to Comey, you got to go. And then the court can come in and appoint somebody else as the prosecutor. And so Lindsey is really picking up another 120-day term from the last guy. And so they're just saying that 120 days is basically invalid and she needs to go because she's not validly appointed. But there's also a lot of case law that says you can do that. And we've had in the DOJ in responding to this, they gave us a bunch of examples of U.S. attorneys who were appointed as an interim attorney repeatedly. 120 days come and expire, 120 days come and expire, and you just keep reappointing the person. So that's another issue that we're battling over. And, you know, the judge is going to make a decision on that. And of course, their position from the DOJ is that if she is disqualified, that again shouldn't be fatal to the indictment. Somebody else can come in and pick up that indictment, just like the prior argument. If the grand jury materials were not seen, it's still not fatal. So a lot of these things, you know, the judge, you know, in these cases, we have a concern that the judges will show their partisan bias towards the institutions and, you know, lean in favor of Comey. We certainly hope that doesn't happen. But there are openings, right? Each one of these attacks is an opening to give the judge justification to make a decision like that, should he choose.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to sit back and watch and to see where the judge goes on all of this. I also think it's interesting, too, that, you know, Comey's getting access to a lot of the sealed grand jury material, because I remember when J6ers were fighting for that and they were denied, as well as President Trump. So it seems to be like he's getting a little bit of a better shake than other individuals that were previously being prosecuted by the Department of, at the time, Injustice, what I used to refer to it all the time. So this will be interesting to see as it follows through. I kind of wanted to get your take on this as well, because obviously the Epstein files are heavy in the news cycle these days. Ultimately, though, the president last night did sign the bill, which is going to release those files. A lot of people are concerned because DOJ has the option of redacting a lot of pieces of information. I know that's a concern. We'll address that in a moment. But yesterday, the AG actually came out and said that she's handing all of this off to the SDNY, which our audience is very, very familiar with. I want you to take a listen to clip 15 and how she answered that.
The issue with the new information that you just indicated. Is the department seeking information perhaps from the Epstein estate, because Mr. Blanche did not have that information when he interviewed Ghislaine Maxwell? What new information, and would you limit the new investigation to just those named persons that the president talked about, or is this a broad, open-ended investigation?
I would refer to the Deputy Attorney General's post that he put out on X, and we're not going to say anything else on that because now it is a pending investigation in the Southern District of New York. But you're on point.
All right, so the American people obviously are concerned about that possibly. What do you make so far? Do you trust that a lot of the things that we want to see in the Epstein files will be released to us? And do you trust the SDNY?
I do not trust the SDNY at all. We've seen a lot of cases come through there. And in fact, Maureen Comey was one of the institutionalists there for a long time. FBI Director James Comey's daughter was there prosecuting Ghislaine and Jeffrey and Diddy. And we've seen a bunch of other just problematic prosecutions and civil cases brought out of that district. I think a lot of people call it one of the most, if not the most problematic districts in the entire country, which is perfect for the Epstein saga. So, you know, I have my doubts about whether we're going to see anything really substantive on this. I know now we all are kind of recovering from whiplash on this story. We remember reading Pam Bondi's memo that was about two pages that said there was nothing else to investigate, nobody else to charge. Then all of a sudden we get a new investigation that's underway, which is very convenient because we've seen this tactic before, right? If it's an open, ongoing investigation, nobody can answer any questions about it. And it's just kind of stalled out indefinitely. And we saw that also combined with Mike Johnson coming out yesterday talking about this bill and how there apparently are a bunch of classified materials in this bill, which is strange if we thought that Epstein and Maxwell were just kind of common criminals and they weren't connected with intelligence agencies. Why do they have to, you know, classify, declassify all of these materials and then dictate what can be released to the public in the aftermath of this? But I think that there's a lot of options for the administration to not ultimately release everything if they don't want to. And I'm sure that there is a lot of juicy stuff in there that we're not going to see. But I am happy, in other words, that we're getting some progress on this. And we saw yesterday that the Democrats, I think, maybe have bit off more than they can chew on this whole saga. They wanted these files out. And then we turn around and we find that Stacey Plaskett from the Virgin Islands is texting with Jeffrey Epstein on the floor of the House during a congressional hearing, or Hakeem Jeffries is calling himself the Brooklyn Obama and sending emails over to Epstein after he has been convicted to have dinner with him and raise money from him. So I think that the demands to release these records are, you know, maybe going to be more than they wish and bargain for, but we're happy that we're seeing some progress on this conversation regardless.
Yeah, no, we are happy about that at least, and that President Trump has signed this, and it's officially a done deal now, so you won't hear people in Congress kind of calling on him to do just that. So I think that's good. But again, it's just so concerning about now that this investigation is obviously open, what they'll do. I mean, I know when I submit a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, I'm constantly being slapped down by the FBI and DOJ because they keep investigations open for a very long time. They don't have to give you over the documents that you need to see. And so I know the games that they play, and it's not a good one. So we'll keep our eyes on that as it unravels. But I also want to get your take on this. This is very controversial. Obviously, the Congress passing the CR, ending the government shutdown. But those in the Senate snuck in a very, very key point where they wanted to make sure that they had some type of leverage in court. So they could sue the government for $500,000 regarding Arctic Frost. Now, several, at about nine, we're learning more and more every day, but nine so far we know of, senators had their phone records handed over to the special prosecutor's office, and they didn't know about this. And so I know a lot of them are looking to now possibly sue. I've been told, though, Senator Tommy Tuberville was not involved in any of this, and this was not something that he advocated for, but they did sneak this provision in. And Lindsey Graham now coming out saying that he was looking forward to going after the government and suing them for this. But which is also funny because he did actually support the Patriot Act as well. So it's okay to spy on us, but not on Lindsey Graham. But we are getting a little bit more of a inside look in all of this. And now it looks like the House unanimously voted to move to claw back that provision that was in the bill. And it's possibly going to be making its move around. What do you make of this as an attorney? Because I don't understand why they would even have needed this specific provision and why they'd even come to the amount of $500,000 up to $500,000. Like, what's the legal works in all of this?
Yeah, I think that they were just trying to shortcut some of the process. I think that certainly they can sue the government. Anybody can go sue the government. You can say that the prosecution violated my rights. Jack Smith spied on my phone records. These are, you know, privacy violations. Sue for civil damages. The issue, I think, is that Jack Smith and the prosecution is going to come back and they're going to say that we have qualified immunity. You know, we have some sort of protection against these civil suits because we were just doing our job. We were just prosecuting and following the facts. And in other words, you'll find juries, you'll find judges that will enable that and endorse that and then make getting a remedy from these senators very difficult. So I think they just wanted to kind of sneak something in there so that they could short circuit that entire process and go just get damages paid out to them. And I understand it. I get why they put that in there. And they're as mad as we've ever seen them. I mean, a lot of Americans got spied on. A lot of J6ers' rights got violated. A lot of Trump campaign aides got spied on and had their rights violated. But the senators weren't too upset about it until it was really on them. But I think the remedy, the mechanism that they're trying to use here leaves a little sour taste in people's mouths because the people, the American people, are going to be paying that $500,000 settlement if their claims are successful, right? They're coming and suing the government. I would be more happy personally if, you know, Jack Smith had to pay that or some of his goons had to tap into their savings accounts and come out of pocket for that. But you would have to sue them and breach their qualified immunity without this special provision. And so the House, I can understand why they're very unhappy about this. To me, it feels like a little bit of a rivalry between the House and the Senate. Senate put something in for them that doesn't protect the House representatives. And so they're a little irritated about that. But ultimately, I want more than just monetary damages. I think that these people have committed crimes. And I think Comey's just the first domino in a long list of other people that have been in this institution of weaponization for multiple election cycles. And so ultimately, you know, we would like to see prosecutions. We would like to see people have to answer for their crimes in court and not just have, you know, a little bit of a settlement for the senators. But at the same time, you know, we also are people who are demanding that Congress does something to address this weaponization. So the fact that they are at least thinking about it and putting stuff in there, I thought, okay, that's, you know, at least a step in the right direction, even if the remedy is not exactly something that's palpable for a lot of people. So we'll see what happens when it comes back to the Senate and if they vote on that. But there were, I think, 8 of them that were very unhappy about it. Blackburn, Tuberville, Graham, Ted Cruz got a subpoena, but doesn't look like they got their record. So there is a real problem here. I just don't know that the $500,000 settlement is the solution.
Yeah, and we had Tuberville on a couple of, I think probably 2 weeks ago, and he did say that he was actually going to go after Jack Smith and try to get him disbarred for what he did. And we look forward to those efforts. But I think that's the best way to go about this, is so that future lawyers understand that I don't care what title they give you, you can't do these things, because they were illegally surveilling so many Americans. And civil penalties really just they don't mean anything to them. It's the government issuing that money. It's taxpayer money. And so this really isn't a slap on the wrist for them. So we look forward to keeping our audience in the know on that one. I want to get your take on this, though, because this did actually happen earlier in the week. And I was very curious to see if there was going to be anything done about this. But, you know, Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna came out and was calling out both Bill and Hillary Clinton because they refused to appear before the House Oversight Committee. This was in regards to a deposition, again, related to Jeffrey Epstein. They did not appear for this. Are there any type of legal ramifications for not appearing for a deposition? Or does there have to be an official subpoena issued here?
Well, there was an official subpoena issued to Bill and Hillary Clinton. So we read through those. Those came out from James Comer and the Oversight Committee. They got formal subpoenas. They subpoenaed a bunch of people, Eric Holder, Bill Barr, all of them officially received those and have still refused to come. And apparently some of this was being negotiated. So Bill and Hillary were the final people to show up on the list. And I think it was like middle of October. So October 15th, I think, was Hillary. And then Bill came in last in a long sequence. And other people have shown up. Bill Barr showed up for these subpoenas and had a deposition in front of Congress, but the Clintons did not show up. And since they got an official subpoena, I know you covered it, we've talked a lot about it, but other people have gone to prison for ignoring congressional subpoenas. Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro and others have gone to prison for 4 months. And so if they do not respond, Bill and Hillary, Comer had a clip yesterday. He was on, I think, with our friends at Just the News, and he was saying, that they will move for an official referral. And we remember the process last time was the J6 committee issued the subpoenas. And we've always said that committee was completely illegally constituted under their own rules. So those subpoenas were invalid from the get-go, but the courts, you know, didn't buy those arguments and said, you got to show up. Bannon and Navarro, they exercised their privilege. They said, we don't have to comply with these subpoenas. We don't have to talk about these issues because we were working for the executive branch. And they still were held in contempt of Congress. And then they made the criminal referral over to the DOJ. And man, they went and got Peter Navarro. They put him in leg irons. The guy's like in his 70s. They got him on an airport tarmac, essentially, and dragged him into custody. So if the law is that and the precedent has been established and no one is above the law, then Hillary and Bill, I don't know what privileges that they're going to claim that are going to override a congressional subpoena. And a lot of this has already been litigated. The courts have said, well, Congress is its own body. So the courts aren't going to come in and interfere with congressional subpoenas because they say it's a separation of powers problem. So if they want to issue a subpoena, you got to go take it up with them. And we saw people go to prison for that. So if Bill and Hillary don't, Comer has said that he's going to pass this off to Pam Bondi, and we'll see if she ultimately brings an indictment on that or presents it to a grand jury. But we don't see any reason why Bill and Hillary can't even share a cell together. You know, it'll be very nice for them and their marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe if Bill takes a plea agreement, maybe the plea agreement could include not having to share a cell with Hillary. I'm sure he'll love that these days. Robert, I want to thank you for all the incredible work you do. You do a great job on X. And so I tell our audience to go head on over there to give you a follow right now, because you break down all of these headlines and all of these court filings and missteps and everything going on. So if you're looking to, you know, gain a little bit of insight on the legal battles up ahead, make sure you head on over and do just that. Robert, thank you. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate it.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in the next segment. So you're going to want to give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. If there's a topic that we've discussed so far on the show, a news topic, and you want to add your insight, give us a call, 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in the next hour. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done it already, I don't know what you're waiting on, but head on over right now to the Alex, well, hold on, there's no the there. It's alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us. Whenever that front door locks, we're going to start off that new venture, and this is how you stay in touch with us, so make sure you do just that. Also, if you haven't done so already, I don't know what you're waiting on as well, because right now we're giving you a free $10. If you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now, you're going to get a free $10. No promo code needed for this, of course. When you fill up your cart, it's just going to apply at the end to your order. You're also going to enter in to win a free Jeep and maybe possibly $10,000 in cash. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. And you can also join the Hat Club. It's the Alex Jones Hat Club. When you subscribe for $30 a month, you're going to get exclusive access to hats that aren't sold at the alexjonesstore.com. So head on over right now and make sure you sign up. There's actually some pretty awesome deals that you're going to want to indulge in. We'll be back with much more to cover in just a few moments.
We have a sale going until Friday evening at midnight, where you get $10 off at checkout, no promo code, just $10 taken off on top of all the sales, and you get a free Patriot flag randomly. There's four flags we have left in stock. They're ordering more. Gas and flags, you name it. Get a free flag. But the real reason you want to go there is because the supplements are so incredible. And we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, t-shirts, all of it. But the Ultra Methylene Blue, you're crazy if you don't get it. We have the best. It is such a game changer. Huge pick-me-up with no letdown. You've seen the rave reviews. You've read the rave reviews. This is not hype. You are really missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get Ultramethylene Blue, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the Shilajit. We have all the best. Oh, yeah, creatine came in. We have the highest quality creatine. A lot of just basic staples are there. The very strongest, best turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Great natural fat burner. Also makes you feel great. Ultimate burn. You want beef tallow? We got beef tallow balm. People love it. It's all there. Optimal Human. Wow. The best, strongest green drink out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for all your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And when you have the free Droid or Apple app at AlexJonesApp.com and you buy through the shopping cart there, additional 20% off and everything on top of that. That's insane.
Happy Thanksgiving from the InfoWars crew. Turkey stuffing and some methylene blue. Pumpkin pie with a dash of whipped cream. Defeating the globalist is our number one dream. The AlexJonesStore.com for your gifts. Fight Bill Gates, Fauci, and Shifty Schiff. Thanks for your support all through the years. Happy Thanksgiving and holiday cheers.